Welcome to Georgia Focus. I'm John Clark on the Georgia News Network. The Georgia Department of Early Care and Learning, or DECAL, is responsible for meeting the child care and early education needs of Georgia's children and their families. Amy Jacobs is the commissioner, and she is our guest on today's program.
This has been a year of milestones for DECAL, for the Georgia's pre-K turned 30, and quality rated turned 10. The agency staff turns 20 itself next year. I mean, so many data points. Are you happy with the overall direction of the agency?
Yeah, absolutely. We have an amazing state agency full of 700 dedicated public servants that, and we're celebrating 30 years of Georgia Pre-K that has served over 2 million four-year-olds and done it really, really well. Quality rated is now 10 years old, as you mentioned, and statewide we have hundreds of thousands of children now that have access to high quality early learning, which is so important for that foundational step for education and lifelong learning. And then, yeah, we will be celebrating 20 years of the Department of Early Care and Learning. We're kind of a new state agency, actually, 20 years later, created by Governor Sonny Perdue. And I don't think he understands, and now Chancellor Sonny Perdue. I don't think he understands the full impact it has by creating a DECAL. We're really fortunate to have everything under one umbrella.
Have you been there all 20 years?
No.
I thought so.
No. I have been at DECAL for 9 years.
But
just celebrated 24 years with the state of Georgia. Long time in state government.
Wow. You've seen a lot of changes.
Yes.
A lot of changes. That's good, though. School will start back in a few weeks across Georgia. And families in the pre-K program may notice some smaller classes. And tell us about that and some of the things that they can expect when school starts back.
Yeah, I can't believe school's already starting back.
I know.
The summer has flown by, and I think we have about 2 more weeks. And some of the schools in Georgia start back in July, so they are getting ready. For the past 10 years, a Georgia pre-K class has been 22 students and 2 teachers, which is too big. That's too many four-year-olds in a classroom. We hear that from teachers every day. Please reduce the class size. And so we're going to try something new this year. Without any additional funding, we're allowing programs to just serve 20 kids without impacting their funding they get for a classroom. And so it's optional this year. We hope that it can be back into the routine once we see how it goes. And we just want to make sure that we can serve as many children as we possibly can. And so, students, parents, teachers should see smaller class sizes, which will be welcomed by teachers. And it's better for students. When you look at us nationally, we're ranked very, very well, except for class size.
Have you any problem with the teachers getting enough teachers to do it?
Yeah, we're actually seeing a teacher shortage, which we have never experienced in Georgia Pre-K. It's a very Georgia Pre-K teachers are a special breed. They love what they do. And since COVID, we've seen a harder time recruiting and retaining them. But this is after pay. Class size is one of their biggest issues, and so we're hoping that will help with that as well.
Are you seeing Pre-K fulfill its mission? Are you having trouble with that?
Yes. So Georgia Pre-K, our main goal is to prepare students for kindergarten and get them ready for kindergarten, because the research is very clear. If you're ready for kindergarten, you're more likely to meet those milestones, like reading on grade level by third grade, which our state is talking about a lot again, graduating from high school, going on to college and career. And so, some independent studies show that Pre-K does just that. And in fact, if you go to Georgia Pre-K, you do better than if you did not go to Georgia Pre-K. It's pretty clear. And so any parent that's looking for a solid, free early education, look for Georgia Pre-K. We're all over the state in every single county in Georgia.
Do they normally go to pre-K, but are there situations where they don't and the parents just say, nah, no pre-K for us, just go in?
Yeah, absolutely. Really? You know, pre-K and really anything early learning or preschool is all about parent choice.
Yeah.
You know, so we have about usually 80,000 four-year-olds. That's about 60% of the four-year-olds in Georgia that go to Georgia pre-K.
Wow.
That doesn't mean the rest of them don't do anything.
Right.
That's just up to parent choice. They could go to a private program, a half-day program, or something else that they might choose for their family.
But pre-K is the way to be.
It's free, and we know it's high quality, and it's doing its job by preparing you for kindergarten. You can ask any teacher that teaches kindergarten. They can say they can tell a difference by a student that's gone to Georgia Pre-K and one that has not.
Oh, yep. That's it. Yes. How old does a child have to be to go into pre-K?
So 4-year-old by September 1st,
okay,
and live in Georgia. Those are the only 2 requirements.
So
it's easy.
Why not?
That's right.
I mean, gosh, every child care program in Georgia needs to be licensed, regulated by your department, of course. There are currently around 4,000 licensed programs. above and beyond what is quality rated. Tell us about those programs that you need to be licensed for.
So, yes, childcare has to be licensed in Georgia, and we have two categories. One is a family childcare learning home. So if you are serving six or fewer children, usually in a home setting, you need to be licensed by us. And if you're serving seven or more, you are a childcare learning center. And we do unannounced inspections twice a year. And, of course, if there are any complaints that come to us through our complaint line, we will investigate those as well. It's all about health and safety as far as licensing goes.
Yeah, that's true, because when you want to make sure you're in the right, you're in the pre-K, you want to make sure you're in the pre-K, the right pre-K, right, and the correct one. Do you monitor that on a regular basis?
Yes, so yeah, we monitor Georgia's pre-K and making sure that they're following all our standards. And we also monitor childcare centers. And, you know, overall, I think 98% of childcare centers in Georgia are in good standing. That's kind of our best grade that we can give them. And so overall, childcare in Georgia is safe. Of course, you see instances where we need to go in and make some interventions.
Right.
But overall, it's safe in Georgia.
Yeah. Right. Well, I heard you, the original quality rated programs, the class of 2012, recognize them as part of an anniversary. You're recognizing the class of 2012. How are you doing that?
So we went around the state because Quality Rated is a statewide program, just like child care is all over the state. And we had 1,200 programs all over the state that were the early adopters of Quality Rated. When we first began this in 2012, you know, they kind of took a leap of faith with us. You know, we're usually a state regulatory agency, and this was giving them a voluntary chance to go above and beyond those health and safety. And so we went to Dalton, we went to Valdosta, and we were in Metro Atlanta, and they came to celebrations in those areas, and we recognized them. We gave them awards. We made some visits to programs. Yeah. We had some community awards where we recognized one of my favorites, former Governor Nathan Deal, because Quality Rated would not be here without him. It was one of his mandates when he first came into office that DeKalb created a Quality Rated system. So he was there and is very proud of the Quality Rated system in Georgia.
That's terrific. Yes. That's great. That is great. That is such a testament to the system and everything you're doing.
Yes.
That really is.
And really, I have to give the credit to the child care providers, because, again, they took a leap of faith when they didn't know what Quality Rated was. we just, you know, it's a national program. Ours is probably, every state's is a little bit different, but I have to give credit to the providers. And now we have almost 3,000 providers throughout the state that have achieved that 1, 2, or 3-star rating. And so that's hundreds of thousands of children that have access to high quality early learning.
So those 3,000, those are the places where you can go to get the pre-K.
They also have pre-K. So this is Quality Rated. So Quality Rated encompasses the entire program. So an infant classroom, a toddler classroom, or pre-K classroom, or a preschool classroom.
Okay.
And a lot of those programs do have a Georgia pre-K classroom as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Governor Kemp said that this year's state legislature focused heavily on the literacy challenges of Georgia's pre-K to third grade children. How is your agency doing so far in those efforts?
You know, we've always been focused on early language and literacy development. That's just foundational to learning. And so everything in all the programs, including Georgia Pre-K, including Quality Rated, some other grant initiatives that we have out, have always been focused on building that foundation. But you're right. This General Assembly, and there was two pieces of legislation that focuses even more on it. One was Senate Bill 211, which creates the Georgia Council on Literacy, which is a 3-year council that will look at all things literacy, not just for DeKalb, but for the Department of Education.
Okay.
We will be supporting that, of course, for the Early Learning Work Group, and I will be supporting it as an agency head. So looking forward to see what that council does, and maybe they'll make some substantial statewide changes. And then there's also House Bill 538, which creates a requirement for us to require all child care teachers to take language and literacy training every year.
Okay.
They're already required to take training. They get to choose what topic it's on, and now a portion of that will be language and literacy. So it's all good things, and I'm glad the state continues to pay attention to language and literacy. They know the impact. If you're not reading on grade level by third grade, you're 4 times more likely not to graduate from high school.
You know, the state really does a good job of taking care of it right there at the beginning, like pre-K.
Yes.
Let's start it out good and go from there.
Yes. Yeah, we just got to get more attention to even earlier because, you know, learning doesn't start when you're 4 years old. It actually starts before you're born, from what all the experts tell us. Yeah. And so we've got to talk about access to children to high quality early learning, quality rated programs, for instance, before they even get to Georgia Pre-K. Yeah. To even build a stronger foundation. I think we'll see even more success for students in Georgia.
I guess it's part of keeping, I mean, getting educated. And so you're educated throughout your life.
Yes.
But then you stay here and you perform here and you work here and you have a successful life here.
That's the hope. I mean, you think of the Georgia Lottery, you know, they fund Georgia Pre-K, and we have a lot of folks that have been through Georgia Pre-K and now have benefited from the Hope Scholarship. And I think part of Zell Miller's vision with that was to keep the really smart individuals here in Georgia with the Hope Scholarship. So we hope we're preparing them for that college education in Georgia Pre-K.
So you can see it taking shape.
Yeah,
you know, you can start to see it now.
It's incredible. 30 years later, there's a lot of success stories, which I think he would be really proud of.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. The we've heard you speak about the two-generation approach to child care. The Georgia Children's Cabinet has formed a two-gen academy. The state employees and other will implement the same approach to that. How does it affect the children of Georgia?
So two-generation is approach to service delivery. We have a lot of programs and services available to children and families. And two-gen is about remembering that small children come with adults in their lives. And usually if a child needs any type of public assistance, the adult probably needs it too. And so it's about delivering those services to the family as a whole so that they can benefit together to improve their family well-being and their economic mobility. Because at the end of the day, we don't want them to be on our public assistance programs. We want to help them become successful and then move on. And I think that's what they want as a family. And so we, as a children's cabinet, which is made up of child serving other state agencies, we just concluded a two-generation leadership academy where 30 leaders throughout the state completed it, hoping to infuse that culture of serve the whole family so they can be successful together in our state. And so great feedback from that academy. We will be starting a second cohort in September, and it's all about changing the culture of service delivery for families in Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. Most children, and this includes right now in summertime, certainly in college, you're looking at school lunch programs and things like that. Let's talk about that some, too, because that's still going on right now. And I say that because most people say child care, you know, children are in school 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., so, and they're in school those hours. But there's other hours that they're involved in things that determine how they live. Mm-hmm. Child care and child health and the feeding is one of those things. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we know, especially when school is out, a lot of folks, and children especially, do not have access to meals because usually they're in school, right, 5 days a week.
Right.
A lot of them are served breakfast and lunch, and then when school's out, they lose access to those meals. And so through the USDA, we administer a program called Happy Helpings. It is all over the state and has been running all summer where we have sponsors and they provide meals to children all throughout the state during the summer because we know not just summer learning loss happens, but they have an issue with access to food. And so through these sponsorships all throughout the state, we're able to provide these children with nutritious meals, not just meals, but and sometimes activities too, sometimes physical activities. And we go where the children are. It could be a public library. It could be a rec center. It could be a swimming pool. And so, we do that every summer. We're able to serve millions of meals to children that otherwise would not have access to those meals since school's out.
Yeah. And then is that children pre-K or is it all children?
It's anyone. So up to the age of 18. Good. Yes. Okay. So just find a location in your community and those meals are absolutely free. No questions asked.
Right. Because in some of those cases, you know, the children, they might not get food.
You're right. They won't.
I just find that so hard to believe, but it's true.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what we talk about when we talk about our Happy Helpings program is, you know, it's not about lack of food. It's about lack of access, which is why we depend on sponsors all over the state to serve these meals, get the word out in their communities, because these meals are absolutely free. And a lot of folks don't think about, oh, we're out of school. We don't have access to food until you don't have access to food, right?
Right.
And so this is a great program that we do at DeKalb, and we've done it for years. Yeah. Millions of meals are served every summer because of it.
How long will this go on until?
So it will end right when school starts back. Okay. So we've got another couple of weeks. Okay. Of course, we start when school ends and when it goes back in session.
Okay.
So we will a couple more weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you recently announced something called Expand Grants to help explore areas in Georgia. Can you speak to us about that, too?
Yes. So, you know, typical childcare usually operates 5 days a week, usually from 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., and that works for the parent that works an 8-to-5 type job. Mm-hmm. But what we've heard from a lot of stakeholder engagement throughout the state is we have a lot of parents that don't work 8-to-5 jobs.
Right.
They might be nurses. They might be police officers. They might be working in a manufacturing job. And they also need access to childcare. And so we have created these Expand Grants, which is a grant opportunity where we want to look at how we do what we call non-traditional childcare. So non-traditional hours, maybe after 6:30 p.m., maybe on the weekends, maybe overnight, which we don't usually work in that world. We're usually supporting childcare programs that work from 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. And so that's why we're using this grant opportunity to learn from grantees. So we will issue about 15 grants, each up to $750,000 each, for either childcare programs or nonprofit or government agencies or even businesses to write proposals to us on how they could better serve the employees that are in their communities because they know best what their employees need.
Yeah.
So we have just a few days and that grant will close and then we will do an announcement in August or September. But we're hoping we will learn so that we can help those non-traditional workers find access to childcare, especially when we're talking about a workforce issue. Every person you talk to has a workforce issue, right? And one of those issues right now is access to childcare, especially those that don't fit into that 6 to 6:30 time frame.
That's very, very true. That is going to be interesting to see how that does.
We're very excited to see what we get from that. We've already had a great response. And so we hope we learn from this and then can further support it after that grant period ends.
Because you're right. It's police officers, nurses, teachers. I mean, it's just truck drivers, anybody, really. Yes. They don't have any.
They're piecing it together.
Right.
It makes it more stressful.
Yeah.
And it's not good for the child. And so if we can come up with some solutions that we can then share statewide and maybe even support financially, that's what we're hoping to do.
Yeah. And there's situations, too, where they can't accept the job because of that, too.
Exactly.
And so that would. Well,
exactly.
That's going to be interesting to see how that
is.
It is.
We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Give us a year and we'll come back.
Okay. Come back in a year. We'll expand on that.
Yes.
And hopefully it'll grow. I hope it does. You also administer Georgia's Child and Parent Service, or your CAPS program. Talk more about that.
Yeah, so that is the state's subsidized child care program. It's really important for low-income working families. Child care is expensive. It's hard to pay for. And so we subsidize the cost of child care through our CAPS program.
Okay.
On a regular basis, we serve about 50,000 children. Right now, with some additional federal stimulus dollars, we're serving 70,000 children. So again, these are children that have access to high-quality early learning, so they are in quality-rated programs. And right now, we're paying the full cost of their tuition for their families. And again, these are working families that are low-income, or they could be in school.
Right.
We have income requirements and activity requirements, so they need to be working or in school. And it's a huge asset to these families that we're paying the full cost of childcare. So that's one less burden on their family. But again, that brings in that two-gen approach that I talked about a few minutes ago. We really want to help those families with other services that they might need as well, so they no longer need our subsidized childcare.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's, boy.
Because usually it's not just access to childcare. They probably need other things like housing and transportation and maybe food. And we have a support team that can help them with that.
So you take care of everything.
We try.
We try almost everything.
We try.
That's great. That is great. The COVID pandemic affected everybody. It's past us, we think. Hopefully it is.
So.
But the national health emergency is now over. How do you think DeKalb did?
You know, boy, that was a tough 2 to 3 years. I wish we had written a book during that time, because when we think back on everything that we did, it's hard to believe we acted so quickly. But I would have to say the DeKalb team did amazing work acting very quickly, pivoting, which is one of our words from the pandemic I can't seem to stop using, to make sure we still provided the services we needed to child care providers and to Georgia Pre-K. You know, in our state, Governor Kemp never closed child care. And many other states, childcare was closed during a portion of the pandemic. Right. But Governor Kemp recognized that it was really important to keep it open, especially for those essential workers like police officers and nurses and those stocking our grocery shelves where we were looking for toilet paper. So childcare remained open, and we knew we had to support them. We couldn't just go home. And so we acted really quickly. And thank goodness childcare is stabilized in Georgia because of that. And so that's a good thing.
I guess you were like, you know, that wasn't an option. Going home and stopping, quit doing it. I was going to quit. It
was not an option. And we knew we had to find a way to support childcare programs throughout the state because we were just figuring it out. You know, there were new health and safety regulations and hand washing and who could enter the building and temperature checks. I mean, all those things that we hope we can forget about one day. But we had to help them implement those types of procedures so that they could keep their kids safe that were in childcare. So we didn't need another outbreak in a childcare center. So it was challenging. I think we learned a lot, and we're all exhausted.
Yes, we are. Even those of us in my business, we're all exhausted We're all exhausted from it. So, but a lot of good stuff came out of it, though, as a result. So
a lot more attention on the importance of childcare, which. Yeah. You know, at DECAL, we've been talking about for 20 years, and so now we're talking about even more in more settings than ever, and so it's a good thing. That's a silver lining for childcare out of the pandemic is people realize the importance of it.
Yeah. Well, things don't stop for your agency during the summer. They keep going. You have to be prepared for the next school year. You have to always be working. In fact, they seem to pick up during the summer. But what right now are some other things that you have, and what's – where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, that's a trick question. Well, speaking of this summer, so one of the other programs that we run during the summer is kind of it comes off of Georgia Pre-K. It's called our Summer Transition Program, which I've seen a lot of posts on social media. It's ending. It's a 5-week program after school's out, and we offer a summer transition program for those children that need just a little extra time in a Georgia Pre-K class before they go to kindergarten. Or they could be coming into Georgia Pre-K next year. They're already enrolled and they speak another language because we know there are a lot of Spanish-speaking students in our state. And while they make huge gains during their pre-K year, they need a little bit of extra help before they get there. So we have done that for 5 weeks, and those are all ending to give our teachers a little bit of a break before they go back for the school year, give our families a little bit of a break. But that's an amazing program that we do every year. Where I see myself in 5 years, God only knows. You know, I'm a public servant at heart. As I said, I've been there for 24 years. Yeah. So I hope I'm in some form or fashion serving the state. I love it at DECAL. We've got a lot more work to do in childcare in Georgia and nationally. We've got to think about how you finance childcare. We've never talked about that really, but I think if we're going to think about access for working families, we've got to think about how we truly finance childcare, similar to how we finance K-12 education and higher education in our state and in our nation. And that's a big conversation that I think will be up and coming in the next 5 years.
That's true, because now as more people come into Georgia, you got more kids and more. It's amazing how many you have now. You just got to keep doing it.
Yes. And I'm sitting at tables that I've never sat at before with the Department of Economic Development, with the Department of Community Affairs. And they're bringing businesses to Georgia. And one of their issues is we have to have access to child care. But our employees, who could be middle income, cannot pay for it. And so we've really got to think through how we do that differently in our country.
That's interesting.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
Childcare is expensive. Yeah. I mean, on average, it's $10,000 a year. It's a lot more in metro Atlanta. And what I tell folks that ask me that, it should be expensive because you're paying for a highly qualified, highly educated teacher. And right now we pay them on average $12 an hour, which is not good. And if you equate it to your K-12 education, if you had to pay for that, it would be a lot more than $10,000 a year.
Yeah.
So think about it like that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we hope you're going to stay around for many, many years to come.
Thank you.
Because you kind of come back here.
That's right. I'll be back. Yeah, I'll be back. If you invite me, I'll be back.
I'll invite you. We hope you stay for many, many years. Where can people find out more information about DECAL?
So we have a great website at decal.ga.gov. We are on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Thread.
Do you have a podcast?
We have a podcast called DECAL Download that drops weekly on Wednesdays. If you want to know what is current at DeKalb, listen to our podcast with our amazing host, Reg Griffin.
Right, right. He is an amazing man.
Always have to give him a shout out.
That's right. That's right. Well, we do. There's a good reason for it. Good reason for it. He does you well. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
We appreciate Amy Jacobs joining us today. She is the commissioner of DeKalb, Georgia Department of Early Care and Learning. For questions or comments on today's program, you can email me, johnclark@georgianewsnetwork.com. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next week right here on your local radio station on Georgia Focus.